Let us pray. O Lord, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The connection I want to make tonight for this evening and for this sermon is about Christ the King and the connection of Jesus and King David. During the season, we celebrate the King born in the city of David, and we also hear that the Emmanuel is the son of David, and he comes to bring his father's kingdom. The people like Israel will shout at the king, "Hosanna in the highest," which means that Israel will cry out with a great voice, "Save us," because none of them can muster up enough courage to be king, which is much like many of us. So I think theologians are right when they say that David is a type of Christ, because in order to understand for us what it means to be king, we have to turn to David, the first true king of Israel, who foreshadows the courage of the King of Glory. So this evening, we heard 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I believe Samuel says, God is with us when he speaks the words, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." Because when he stands there with a horn filled with oil, Samuel is right. The anointed one is present there. Christ, the anointed, is present there, not in the person of David, but in that horn filled with oil. For the Lord, our God, said to him, "Take a horn filled with oil and go to the city of David." And then God commands him to anoint the one he chose for himself. So God, in that oil, is present. He associated himself with that horn, and with it, he tells in the Old Testament to anoint kings and prophets. So David is made king. Oil is smeared on his head, and the Spirit rushes upon him. The text says the anointed at that point becomes king, and he will rule and reign and have dominion. In David, it is right that God has provided for himself a king worthy, for worthy is someone with faith in Christ. For without faith, a person has only self-reliance and trust in their own works, because faith does not come from within us, but from outside of us. So our God is faithful in choosing David, because we are told in the text that David is a person after God's own heart, but Saul, a king who is demoted, is after his own desires. Saul relies on his own work, and Saul relies on what he thinks is right. He doesn't fear the Lord. He doesn't listen to the instruction that God gives him. So for us, as we look at Saul, Saul's self-reliance is a one-way ticket to lose faith. Therefore, it is God's desire to reject him as king, for what he did not understand is the meaning of being anointed. To be anointed means to be separated for a particular task. David now has the job. However, Saul and David are not the first king. They are the king over Israel, but they're not the first man to be given or entrusted the same job description. God created man in his own image from the beginning. From the beginning, man is called to be king. And God describes what it means to be king in Genesis in four verbs: increase, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. So if David is called to be king, he will have to face the enemy. When someone is called to be king, that person will have to face the adversary. For bearing authority is one thing, but executing that authority in flesh is another. So for us, the season, a babe in a manger comes in the flesh to finish what man couldn't do. Adam was king before God. He had the first battle against the adversary. And in him, man's defeat was in simple words. Adam received every gift from God, but he failed to give the voice to the word of God. He failed to defend and he failed to argue. Adam failed to fight. In his call to rule, Adam has defeat. And Adam's defeat is man's defeat. It is our defeat. His defeat at the tree means that now we live lives dominated by fear. Fear because of sin. Now we have to face the enemy daily in this world, and we have to fight battles on a day-to-day basis, and we have problems. One, because of our own self. Two, because of the world around us. And three, because of Satan. Because of all those, we face death. Saul faces death when he sees the Philistines in front of him. Saul rules his kingdom dominated by fear. And fear, like Saul, invites the enemy for aggression. Our fear let the enemy fill the earth and subdue it. In that valley, the Elah Valley, the Philistines are many, and their champion Goliath is standing in the valley, taunting the people of God and their divine anointing. So if man is to be king, someone has to go down that valley. Someone has to face the enemy. So now, 2,000 years later, we hear about Jesus Christ, our Lord, who went down a valley, prayed in a garden, and then faced the enemy on the night when he was betrayed. In order for us to be part of the kingdom, it is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to us. And this way that his Son will face death and then resurrection. In this way, Jesus is made both Lord and Christ so that our fear may rest not in the things of this world, but in the fear of God. So Peter tells us in the epistle reading to place our misplaced fear somewhere else, that our misplaced fear, the fear to go down the valley of sorrow and the veil of tears in this life that we call earth, Peter invites us to listen to the word, and the word, the law of God, will cut to our heart. And in these same words, Peter offers comfort when he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. That word is for us. For in Christ crucified, we have no fear. So have no fear. You are part of God's kingdom. We see how much has changed, though, in the defeat in the garden. Evil has increased. In Eden, Adam wears a crown, and Satan is a mere serpent. But in front of David, the enemy has grown and filled the earth, and it is not a mere serpent, but it is a whole giant. And in the giant Goliath, there is no hidden agenda to him. It's only naked intimidation. There's no carefully designed lies, but direct confrontation, inviting for a fight. So brothers and sisters, sin will confront us, and sin will deal with us, like the invitation of Goliath to fight. But Christ is the one who has the courage to go down that valley Therefore, he has given David to be king, to go down that valley, and Christ will fight the battle for us. As David says to us, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go down and fight him. Christ has gone down and fought the devil on the cross. So in David, he defeated every adversary with courage as he served the King of Glory, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that is that David did not go down that valley filled with hope of gain and glory and ambition or curiosity or greed, but filled with the courage of God in his heart. His desire is the same. For God wants to save his people. David goes down that valley to save the people of Israel. And because all of that is true, you and I are saved. David's courage to face the enemy serves us. In his anointing, the courage that flows in his vein is the same courage that Christ has when he's facing the passion and the death on the cross. For what Jesus does for us, and his courage inspires faith. And faith is what we need in our heart. Your Lord, our Lord, knows how difficult it is for us when it comes to facing death. When we face death or difficulties leading toward death, we are not able to discern the right words to speak, the right course of action, the right mindset, or the right emotions. Fear freezes us. It clouds our mind, it shuts our mouth, it paralyzes our muscles. So take courage in Christ and in his resurrection and his ascension on the right side of the Father, for he is made king there. And just as he was with David, he is with you. So do not be eaten by fear. Your Lord has gone down that valley for you. That's what it takes to be king. That's what it takes to be your king, to die and rise again. Take heart. Christ made your enemies his footstool. So let's go back to the imagery of the fight against David and Goliath again. For David faces the enemy, but Christ, our Lord, faces Satan himself. Adam in the garden argues with the devil on his own turf. David goes down the Elah Valley to fight Goliath, but the Messiah descended into hell to proclaim the victory that you know. So Christ come to finish the foreshadowed battle in that valley of Elah and in the garden. And he goes down that Jordan River where he is baptized, and that victory is not complete until he submits himself to meet Satan at its source. David defeats Goliath with stones, but Christ throws himself in flesh and blood at the devil. Christ is the stone that defeats the darkness of death, crushing the devil at its head. During his call to be king, David cared for the people of Israel, but in Christ, God cares for you. In your baptism and in communion and in scripture and in prayer. So take courage with all those. The Lord is with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.